me Sunday night. It was touch and go. It was too much. For those on the podcast, we're talking about the Duke basketball game, which has become, you know, I went to school there, what, I don't know, 40-some years ago. And my wife says, you get too involved. So I'm an alcoholic, honey, you know. We don't do things halfway. And you have to understand that, and she pointed this out to me one year, that if they lose, it's because they woke up that morning and they had a team meeting. And they said, we're going to ruin Michael Hurwitz's life tonight. We're going to play like crap and ruin his evening. Now, she said that, and you know, she's heard the program a lot. I said, you know, honey, there's a lot of truth to that. We take everything a little bit too serious. Anyway, it was just fun. We won, and I'm ready for their loss Friday night, so I'll be here Saturday, don't worry. And on Saturday, we're going to be covering finishing that Drop the Rock introduction. So if you have one, bring it. If not, I'll have some more copies. We're going to read about 4 or 5 pages that are really good. And then we're going to cover the St. Francis Prayer. I'm going to talk about what it means and go through it, because this is the deal. I don't know who wrote it. We don't even know. It was found in a church in France in 1919. It was adapted. Catholic Church liked it. They started using it. And it's become adopted. They named it the Prayer of St. Francis because they think it symbolizes what his philosophy was. And it's a great prayer, and it's essentially the whole program on this card. So we're going to talk about that on Saturday. If you can make it 9:15, it's going to be good. Then Sunday night, depending on the on what happens Friday night, we're going to cover, where are we on Sunday night? We're in the beginning of the book. And we did the, we're on the forward to the second edition, so we're going to cover the history about AA, Bill and Bob and the Oxford Group and all that. And if you haven't heard it before, it's going to be great. If you've heard it before, every time I go through it myself, I get goosebumps how we're here today and we're alive because of the things that came together that are not coincidences, right? They're God working a miracle anonymous. He put it all together, all the right people in place. And like, if you're here tonight, he put things in my life so that I would be here tonight. And so you're here, and then you're going to be here some night when somebody else comes in, and that's how it works. It's kind of no coincidences, right, Corey? Right. Corey did a great job Monday. I mean, I can't tell you, listening to him and knowing him for all those years, it's just, if you can't believe in the power of the program and God after listening to Corey, you just can't. It's a great job. Yeah, I'm sure you helped somebody. Somebody. Let's give him a hand. Yeah, man. And so that was just, that was really powerful. All right, tonight we're on How It Works on Wednesday night. We're on page 58. And we've gotten this far in the book. And we're reading these pages that were written in 1938, published in 1939. There's a whole story behind how these three pages got written. Has everybody heard it before? Would you like to hear it, how they did this? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, good. Good. I was gonna do it anyway. well, they got to they wrote Bill's story, and there's a solution, and they sent that to the publisher initially, and they got $2,500. And then they started writing the book, and there were a lot of people involved in the book, and they took information from a lot of books. But when they were going to write How It Works and the actual steps, they asked Reverend Shoemaker to write the steps for them. And he said, no, alcoholics have to write the steps. There were 6 steps in the Oxford Group, but they were going to write it. And then Bill W. says that he was starting to write at midnight. He didn't know what to write at all. And this is from his own words. He prayed. He put the pen down. He prayed. He asked God to guide him. And then he said something happened. He picked up the pen and he wrote. And when he finished, he'd written these 3 pages. And he didn't realize he'd written 12 steps, but he thought 12 was a good number, right? 12 disciples, and 12 is a good number. And so then these two guys came to visit him, Hank Parkhurst, who helped get this book, and another guy. And they came to see him because they knew Bill worked late at night. And he says, look what I did. I've got 12 steps. They said, well, there are only 10 commandments. How do we get 12 steps, you know? And then they made some changes in it from the original manuscript. They put we instead of I and you. And they made a few changes, but basically they left it the way it's written now. And at the end of the ABCs that we read at every meeting, in the original manuscript, which I don't have, it's at home somewhere, I tried to find it. It says, you're not convinced at this point, either reread the book or throw it away. See, they were pretty serious, because it starts being convinced on page 60, they're going to ask you to make a decision, take action. If you're not convinced that you're alcoholic and cannot manage your own life, if you're not convinced that you no human power can relieve it, and if you're not convinced that God can and will if he saw it, then just throw the book away. Because if you're not convinced of that, you're not going to do the rest of the steps, right? And I didn't realize, but what we're going to read tonight is you have to be convinced on the second paragraph, or else they don't really want you to read anymore. So we read How It Works last week, and we read, you know, rarely have a person seen a person fail. We went through that whole paragraph, and then we read the second paragraph. I went through it, but I'm going to read it again. It says, our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we're like now. Now, that's doctor's opinion, Bill's story, more about alcoholism, there is a solution, and we agnostics. They had that information. And then there were some stories in the back, but what they're talking about is the first 57 pages. And it's if you've decided you want what we have, so if you've made that decision that you want what they had, now what did they have? They had a solution to a hopeless condition of mind and body, right? And they had a way out on which they could all agree, right, on page 17. And they, if you want that, and you've decided you want that, and are willing to go any length to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. Does this make sense? Now, willing to go to any length. Now, what does that mean? Because, you know, this is written for alcoholics. So what does any length mean? Any length means any length. What are you not willing to do? And are you willing to go to any length to get it? Then you're ready to take certain steps. So if you haven't made a decision that you want what they have, and you're not willing to go to any credit, get it, then you're not ready to take the steps. You might as well throw the book away, right? And so I hadn't seen that before. It's like the ABCs, you know, if you're not convinced at this point, throw the book away. If you don't want what they have, and you're not willing to go to any length at it, then you're not ready to take certain steps. So why aren't people taking certain steps? Because they may decide they want what they had, but they're not willing to go to any length to get it. Now, I heard a speaker once, and he says, how many steps do you need to stay sober, right? And then, so how many steps do you need? So he'll see somebody who's not working the steps. He'll say, well, you must think you only need one step to stay sober, you see? What are you not willing to do? What are you not doing? Because they meant for you to take these steps right now and not wait around. Now, we have a lot of things have changed in 2019. We have a lot of treatment centers and programs and this and that and all that. But the people who wrote this book, and this is AA, and this is the solution, they said, are you ready to take certain steps now? And they're going to say that in the next paragraph. And notice it's their steps. See, I've read this for a while, and I read their steps, but I put in my steps, you know, what I thought were the steps that I need. Anybody else do that when they first came? And you read them off the wall, and you figure out which one you need or you don't want to do, right? Anybody else do that? Am I the only one? And to take certain steps, their steps. And then the other thing about steps, what does it mean to take a step? Has anybody ever seen the baby take their first step? It's really something, right? And then you take a second step. And if you want to get them to you and they're hobbling, they have to take more than one step, right? You hold your arms out. Well, that's all AA is doing. It's holding their arms out like your little baby. And you just keep taking the steps and we'll get you. And isn't that what God's saying? You know, you're taking your baby steps. You come in here. your toddler, but God's waiting with arms to hug you and hold you. And isn't that the story of the prodigal son? You know, that he was lost in the hog pen, and he came to himself, and he realized, I'm in the pig pen. And he decided to take certain steps, and God came running to him and hugged him. So if you're ready to take certain steps, and you take their steps, God's ready for you. That's the other thing. See, we're all worried about who God is and what God is and this and that. You don't have to worry about that. If you take the certain steps, it says God will reveal himself to you, right? Has that happened to anybody in the room? So it says, and there's also, I wrote a thought on step zero. You know what step zero is? Step zero is when you've decided you're an alcoholic and your life is hopeless and futile, but you're not doing anything. And how long can you stay on step zero and keep from drinking? You see, that's a very dangerous place. So it said at some of these we'd balk. Can you imagine an alcoholic balking at some of the steps? We thought we could find an easier, softer way. And here's what I thought. Here's what I think it says. I thought I could find an easier, softer, my way. See, I had a way. Anybody else do that? See, I didn't even know what the way was. I went to meetings here for quite a while before I really got into the book. And, you know, I really loved the fellowship. And I read the book myself, but there weren't a lot of book studies at that time in Topeka. I think there was one. And I didn't really understand it. And so we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, and I call that half measures and my way, but we could not. With all the conviction at our command, all the earnestness at our command, they begged me to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Fearless of what? And thorough from the very start. Thorough, a fearless and searching moral inventory. You remember that? Step number four. Be fearless and thorough. A fearless and thorough steps 4 through 9. Why? I need to see the truth about my thinking. I need to see the truth about my personality, right? And if you're not fearless and thorough from the very start, it just gets worse. You just keep balking more. Have you ever seen that? And it's amazing. If you try to work with somebody and they're balking, you're trying harder. And then they balk more. And then you try harder. And then I have the 3-day rule at home. You know, if I mention the name 3 days in a row, my wife says, you're done. They're balking. And if they're balking, you can't make them not balk. Now, how do you not balk? Your first step. Are you truly connected? And Corey did such a good job with his first step. Are you truly convinced that you're powerless over alcohol? Your life has become unmanageable and will never be manageable again. Then you're not going to balk. So if you're balking, you really haven't taken your first step. And why do they say you have to take the first step 100%? What do they mean by that? You've heard that, right? Well, if you're not completely defeated, you're going to balk. And how do you know if you're not completely defeated? You're not working the steps. And you've got your own ideas. And I believe if you really want this, you'll find the right person to be your sponsor and go through it. God will send the right person if you're seeking. Right, Kurt? It's true. Absolutely true. Right, Dewey? It'll happen. You just need to seek him. And it says, some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas. My old ideas are my problems, my ego, my mental concepts of my life. Now, we talked about drop the rock. The rock is all of my old ideas, all my convictions, everything I think I know, everything I'm sure of, the guiding forces of my life. They guided me into AA. They guided me into an unmanageable life. Anybody else have that? If you notice, we don't ask new people what their plan is. You know, Sandy Beach says that when you're new, we don't want to know what your plan is because your plan didn't work. And what you need to know if you're new is what this plan is. Now, why do you do this plan and give up your plan? Because everybody comes in here has their plan. Your plan doesn't work, and eventually you stop balking. Your plan isn't working, right? And sometimes we die before we see that. And that's why very few people make it in AA, and very few people stay in the rooms, and that's why we have a bunch of of 1 year and 2 year coins and no 30 day coins left. And it's tough. This is a tough disease. And we're going to read why in the next line. And the result was nil until I let go absolutely of what? Now, here's what I heard, and I tell people that, and they don't like me. Well, there are a lot of reasons why they don't like me, but this is one of them. I say, everything you think you know is wrong. When you come in here, everything you think you know is wrong. Now, some guy said, that can't be true, and he quoted Plato. And that's Pastor Matt, who's got 7 years now. And after 3 months, we're sitting down, he says, you know, he's working on his fourth step. He says, you're right, everything I thought I knew was wrong. All my conceptions of what I needed to be happy, what I needed for my life to be okay, they were all misguided. Why? They were based on me and what I thought I needed. And I wasn't a bad person. I realized I had the wrong manager. It was me. And that was so freeing. So now you know what I like to do? I like to see each day what else I'm wrong about. Now, it's good if you're married, because you'll find that out. And you know what? Instead of saying, you're wrong, honey, you say, you know, you're right. And you see, you'll find out, and you'll see it all the time. I saw this show on Netflix. I didn't like the title. You know how that is? It's not going to be any good, right? It's going to be bad. You're not going to like it, Michael. Anybody else do that? And then I said, you know, that's an old idea. I'm going to watch this show. And it was great. I've done that with books. I've done that with people. I've done that with situations. And now I like to change my mind. But I didn't know that when I came in here. And so now I look, Chuck C., that famous speaker, says every morning he wakes up, he says, God, what else am I going to see I'm wrong about? It's a gift to see when you're wrong. That's a spiritual awakening. Somebody said that at one of the meetings, they were describing that. And when I can see I'm wrong today, that's all that the spiritual awakening is. I can see the truth. And it's good to be wrong, because when we were right, we just made a mess of our lives. Remember, he says, our troubles arise out of ourselves. We made decisions based on self that caused us to be harmed. So I have to result, I have to let go absolutely of what? Everything I know. Now, I forgot to say the set-aside prayer today. And the set-aside prayer is when I say, God, I want you to let go, help me let go of everything I think I know about you, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live in your truth. Amen. And I say that every morning. It's part of my prayer. I have to remind myself, I can't trust my thinking anymore. I have to go to God. And isn't that what we're doing all day long, right? How do you know when you can't trust your thinking? You're angry, you're fearful, you're pissing people off, or you're pissed off. And so you have to watch that all the time. So it says, remember that we deal with alcohol. Oh, and I wrote here, old ideas, they kill me because they prevent me from being fearless and thorough. And also, the old ideas block me from God. And the worst thing is they block me from the world of the Spirit, or if you're religious, the Holy Spirit. Your old ideas, they block you. God won't unblock you. You have to let go. It says we have to let go of my old ideas. I try to hold on, but it says the result will know. I have to let go absolutely. And the whole program, and Tom said this last week, Sandy Beach says, is those two words, let go. What else do I need to let go of today? Because if I let go, God immediately will supply. I don't let go and let God, because that's really, God's God. You know, that would be presumptuous to let him. But if I let go, God will take it right away. He'll take it away, guaranteed. And so we don't have to worry about letting God do it. God will do it. That's why he's God. But we have to let go of it and ask. And we use the word ask in this book a lot. So remember that you deal with alcohol. Now, alcohol is a liquid in a bottle, isn't it? It's a liquid in a bottle. It's usually got a seal on it. It's a sealed liquid in a bottle that can kill you. How does that happen? Because it's cunning, baffling, and powerful. Where? In your mind. Why? because you don't, you see what that thing's going to do for you, not to you, right? Anybody else ever had that? So there's nothing blocking you from that seal or anything. And it's powerful in your mind. Now, if you have that problem, anybody have that problem in here? Then you've lost the power to choose to drink or not forever. And if you understand that, then you're willing to go to any length because you know you have no power to keep from drinking ever. Not today. Anybody have the power today? No. I have no power today to choose, but I have power to seek God. And God gives me the choice. So when I'm disturbed, I seek God. I don't have to seek alcohol. When I'm afraid, I seek God. I say the prayer. When I'm angry, I seek God. Keep me from being angry. You see, whenever I think I'm right or disturbed about something, I go to God. I don't have to drink over anything anymore. But we used to drink over those things, didn't we? Cunning, baffling, and powerful. Why? Alcohol will, in that bottle, an inert substance will tell your mind it's okay to drink it. When you've sworn at 9 in the morning, it's going to kill you, right? And at 5, you're in the liquor store. Now, you don't go to the liquor store and say, I'm a self-will run riot. You know, I've made decisions that caused me harm. I'm full of fear and angry. My life's a mess at home. Can I have a bottle? Right? We don't do that. We just know that that bottle is the solution to all of that. And when does this occur? When is alcohol cunning, baffling, and powerful? When you're sober. A lot of new people think the disease is after you drink. Well, have a party. Sure, if bad things happen after you drink because you're an alcoholic, you can't control how much you drink, right? But bad things happen sober. And sober is when alcohol becomes cunning, baffling, and powerful because it convinces you sober that a liquid in the bottle is going to solve all your problems. Now, if you want to think you're really stupid, think how you gave your life over to this liquid. In a bottle, why? Because it made you feel better, right? So we want to feel better now in AA through working the steps and through serving God and others. And we don't want to feel better through that. And did it stop working for anybody? Of course, right? Couldn't get enough, right? Never get enough. And you could substitute alcohol with women or money or things, right? Anything that you think you need to be happy, it has power over you. What we want to learn in AA, all I need to be happy is to follow God's direction all day. And so we have to change our whole concepts because no, I didn't know that when I came in. Did anybody else know that? No. It says, without help, it is too much for us. And here's the problem that I think also kills a lot of people. Probably almost killed me. I want help, but I don't want perfect help. See, God is perfect help. Now, what do I mean by that? People want 99% help or 98%. You know, they're not really to go 100%, right? You see that, don't you, Corey, in your work? They're not willing to go 100%. They don't want perfect help because they still want some control. So it has to be, without help is too much for us, and it has to be perfect help, and it has to be 100%. Because remember, if we take control of our lives, then that's the area where God's not in charge, and that area will make alcohol power over me, right? So you see the relation between perfect help and a lot of help? It's like the surgeon going in and taking out this big cancer. But he leaves 5%. He says, well, I got 95%. You see how silly that is? We need 100%. We need 100% help. All the time. Now, none of us realize that. That's why it's progress, not perfection, right? But the progress, not perfection, is not an excuse for being a total you-know-what each day. It just means that we're never going to be perfect, but we're continually learning. And what am I learning? I'm learning what I'm wrong about all the time. So at night I'll say, well, gee, I was wrong about that. I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done that, or I was judging this one. You know, it's the usual alcoholic nonsense. And I say, well, you know, I want to do better tomorrow. God, forgive me. I ask God's forgiveness and what corrective action. And if you keep doing this a while, you'll have less and less of that each night. You always have something, but you didn't make a big deal of it. It kind of passed during the day. You don't even remember it anymore. And that's what it means to live in the world of the Spirit. So without help, it is too much for us. Does anybody believe that? But there is one, notice one with a capital O, who has all power. That one is God. Now, some people say they don't want to hear about God, right? Have you ever heard that? New people, I don't want to hear about God. Well, God is only that one that has all power. That's how he defies it. You can have any God you want, but it better be one that has all power. Why? Because you need perfect help. You don't want a half-powerful God. You need a high, because why? Alcohol is cutting baffling and powerful. And if you're going to need a power greater than alcohol, it better be perfect, right? And so that one is God. And here's a subtle line. May you find him now. It doesn't say, may you find him in 90 meetings in 90 days. You see that? I don't see that. It doesn't say, may you find him in 3 months. I used to hear a lot, my sponsor, he's not ready to work the steps. They need to clear their mind. Of what? Their mind is full of alcoholism. It's not going to clear until you work the steps. You see what I mean? You hear all these things. May you find him now. Now, the now means, and I'm not saying 90 meetings in 90 days isn't good, and it may be how you're finding God, but you need to find God now. You need to start your search now. And where is God? Does anybody know where God is? In the now. Right in this moment. If you're in the now with God, you're not in fear and you're not angry. Anybody in this room ever get angry or fearful? Well, my whole life was anger and fear. So I was never in the now. Very rarely, only by mistake. And God's only in the now. Now, I heard this speaker. It's very powerful. She wrote the Freedom from Bondage chapter that everybody loves. And I heard her speak in 1972 on one of the speakers. And she says, alcoholics can't live in ongoing time. What does she mean by that? We're either in the past or the future. And we bring the past and the future together, and they take our mind. So right now, I'm worried about tomorrow, what happened in the morning. I'm not in the now. And the steps help me move the fear and the anger away and get in the now. And I'll tell my wife I'm okay. She'll say, I'm glad, honey. But what I mean is, I'm in the now. I'm not fearful and I'm not angry. Now, the now may only last now, but what you want to do with the steps, and people don't understand the beginning, is you want to be able to live all day in the now. And that's what 10 and 11 is all about, and 6 and 7, how I live all day in the now and I stop living in fear and anger. So you're going to learn that. Isn't that a great gift? But you're not going to learn that till you do it and you work the steps. In the now, we find him. And it doesn't say you wait for him. Half measures, a measure is a plan of action to achieve a particular result, availed us nothing. Now, what is a half measure? It means you're not willing to go to any length. Now, there's something that nobody's ever really asked me, but it asks us in the book. It's on page, is it okay if we go back and look at this page? It's a very important question. It's on page 20. You're a new person, and it says, you may have already asked yourself why it is that all of us became so very ill from drinking. Doubtless you're curious to discover how and why, in the face of expert opinion to the contrary, we have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. So if you come in here and your life is really a mess, and you see people around who seem okay and they have years of sobriety, then you know that you can recover from a hopeless condition of mind and body. That's what the meaning is supposed to do. So it says, if you're an alcoholic who wants to get over it, is that anybody here? Then here's the question. You may already be asking, what do I have to do? Now, I've never met a new guy who says, what do I have to do? They tell me what they're going to do, or they'll say, well, you know, okay. But they don't come up and say, you know, I want to get this. What do I have to do? And then Sandy Beach adds, what do I have to do next? Isn't that the whole deal? What do I have to do next? And I'm sober a long time. What do I have to do next? And I never get over that. What do I have to keep doing? Because if I don't keep doing it, alcohol is going to become cunning, baffling, and powerful. And guess what the next line is? And this is why we study this. It's the purpose of this book to answer such questions specifically. So I was talking with a nice young man. He was telling me how you know, he's looking for help and this and that. And I said, the book tells you exactly what you have to do if you want to recover. You don't need anything else. Insurance companies can't pay you $10,000 for a big book. You see, and I'm not saying treatment's bad, but everything we need is right here. I heard this guy, he's a really famous speaker, he gives a great talk, and he says, he met his sponsor, he says, you know, I've been in treatment 30 times. He says, great, you spent $500,000 on a big book. Think about it. That made a big impression on me. And it's true. And then he told the sponsor that he had 3 or 4 degrees. And he says, you know what we do with degrees? We shove them up your ass. He's a good speaker. It made an impression on me. Did everybody get that? All right. It took me a while. All right. I'm going to stop with really soon. Don't worry. Half measures availed us nothing. Now, nothing is not good. That's the other thing. You know, alcoholics read this and say, well, half measures are going to avail you nothing, but it'll be okay for me. That's how we read these things. They're talking about him. They're talking about him, not me. You know, I could do half measures. And it says, I stood at the turning point. Now, have you ever stood at the turning point? I know where I stood at the turning point. And I'm at the turning point every morning. But in the beginning, have you stood at the turning point? Have you said, I just can't go on like it's been anymore? And I remember that moment. We were talking about it, Harold and I, before the meeting, and Grady, that moment when I just couldn't go on anymore, and Corey described it so well last night. I stood at the turning point, and the only choice I had was to stay with me or find God. And I said, God, help me, and I do it every morning. And I ask, we ask, that's a prayer, his protection, and compare with complete abandon. Now, sometimes alcoholics are confused. They don't know what complete abandon means. Complete abandon is like 99% perfect help, right? If you don't have complete abandon, it's not going to work. So I remember we had this woman, and I said, you have to be 100% completely abandoned. And she told me that she was getting better. She was 96%. I said, well, the 4% will kill you, don't you see? It has to be completely, and it has to be all the time. Now, how do you know? I'm not perfect. How do I know when I'm not completely abandoning myself to God today? I have a fear, or I'm getting judgmental, or I'm getting upset, right? And then I have to give myself to God right at that moment and get back in the now. It never ends for alcoholics, sorry. It's a continuous program of recovery all the time. But they're writing for people who are dying. And they're telling you, if you're dying, here are the steps we took. Now, you may not like them. You may not like the book. Don't read it. They don't care. They say, which are suggested, and they changed this in the original book. It says, your program of recovery. So if you want to recover from alcoholism, they suggest this is your program. And I'll stop there. Was this helpful at all? It's a lot of information. A lot of information. And just what? When we read 3 paragraphs. I think these 3 pages, I haven't counted the number of words, are some of the most powerful things ever written. And I was thinking about it. We have a nice house that's up on the hill. We have a beautiful view. Everybody walks in the house and says, what a great view. Well, I don't notice it anymore. And we read how it works at every meeting. And we sit there and we read and we play with our phones. But this is such a perfect thing that was written, these 3 pages. And we should not lose track of that. That's why we still read it at the meeting. We decide, will we read it this meeting or not? I said we should read how it works. It is the what do you do next, right? So I'm going to stop there. I went over. Don't tell Ed. And we'll be here Saturday. Thank you, guys.